Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pleased to welcome you to this press conference with President Barroso, who is here to present to you the Europe 2020 strategy, a European strategy for smart, sustainable and inclusive growth that the Commission has just agreed at its meeting today. And without further ado, or perhaps a little bit further ado, while I explain to you that this document is, of course, available to you outside, and we also have a press release. But now, without further ado, I'll give the floor to President Barroso. I should just say also we have time constraints because the President and the College are receiving the President of the Italian Republic, Mr. Napolitano, at 12 o'clock, and the President will receive him just before 12 o'clock. So this is what we're looking at. President, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Pia. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to present Europe 2020 proposal that the European Commission has just approved, and that will be available to all of you and, of course, to the European public. Europe 2020 is about what we need to do today and tomorrow to get Europe back on track. It sets out what we have to do now for the next 10 years, not what we should do in 10 years' time, but precisely to achieve results in 10 years' time, we should start now. And there is a real sense of urgency in this economic strategy that we are presenting to you today. This is a strategy about more jobs and better lives for European citizens. The current economic crisis is worse than anyone ever imagined. Economic realities are moving faster than political realities, as we have seen with the global impact of the financial crisis. We need to accept that the increased economic interdependence demands a more determined and coherent response at political level. That clearly makes the case for a stronger economic governance in the European Union. Over the last 12 months, a huge amount of the growth and employment generated by the European economy over the last decade has simply been wiped away. That is why we spent much of 2009 avoiding a complete meltdown of the financial and economic systems. Now we need to continue to climb out of this situation. It will be tough for some time yet, but we'll get there. We'll not rest until this has been achieved. This is why we are dealing with bad banks. We are correcting financial markets, and we are protecting the Eurozone. The debate over the response to Greece's budget deficit and the need to rebalance demand across the European Union is an extreme reminder that divergences between member states have a direct impact on everyone else. We are more interdependent than ever before. So I think the case is more stronger than ever for the need for this increased coordination at European level, not only because of the demands coming from globalization and the need to keep the European competitive position, but also because of the recent crises that we have been experienced that have a direct impact on different member states. The crisis has also exposed fundamental weaknesses and unsustainable trends that we cannot ignore any longer. Our analysis is that before the crisis, we were already falling behind, that business as usual is not an option, and that we need a coherent, comprehensive European Union approach to stand any chance of realizing our ambitions. Effectively, we need a crisis response today and a reform agenda for the next 10 years. The bottom line is that Europe has a growth deficit which is putting our future at risk. We need to restore Europe's growth potential to make us once again fully competitive on the global stage. For this, we need to invest in structural change and structural growth. But not just any kind of growth. We need to invest in smart, sustainable, inclusive growth. We need to concentrate our efforts on the most important levers if we are to succeed. If we spread our efforts and our money too thinly, we'll not get the results we want. We have one chance to get this right. And that is why I believe that around the priority of growth, we need to focus on three mutual reinforcing aspects. Smart growth by developing an economy based on knowledge and innovation, Put simply, it is about rebooting the internal market for the 21st century. Sustainable growth by promoting a resource-efficient and competitive economy. We may have limited oil and gas, but we do not have limited ideas. And we can achieve this resource-efficient economy. But also inclusive growth by fostering a high employment economy, delivering social and territorial cohesion. Above all, we need to invest in our people so they can invest in Europe. To reach these priorities, we need measurable and representative targets. And that is what we set out today. 75% of the population aged 20 to 64 should be employed. 3% of the European Union GDP should be invested in research and development. The 2020 climate energy targets should be met, and the reduction of greenhouse gases to 30% should be attained if the conditions are right. The share of early school leavers should be under 10%, and at least 40% of the younger generation should have a tertiary degree, what is usually called high education degree. 20 million less people should be at risk of poverty. So we have these concrete targets on employment, on R&D, on climate and energy, on education, on the fight against poverty. And to deliver on these targets, we have defined 7 flagship initiatives to catalyze progress under each priority theme. First, we propose what we call an innovation union to improve framework conditions and access to finance for research and innovation so as to ensure that innovative ideas can be turned into products and services that create growth and jobs. Second, flagship initiative, Youth on the Move, to enhance the performance of education systems and to facilitate the entry of young people to the labor market. Third, a digital agenda for Europe to speed up the rollout of high-speed internet and reap the benefits of a digital single market for households and firms. Fourth, the resource-efficient Europe to help decouple economic growth from use of resources, increase the use of renewable energy resources, modernize our transport sector, promote energy efficiency. Fifth, an industrial policy for the globalization era to improve the business environment, notably for SMEs, and to support development of a strong and sustainable industrial base able to compete globally. Fifth, an agenda for new skills and jobs to modernize labor markets and empower people by developing their skills throughout the life cycle with a view to increase labor participation and better match labor supply and demand, including through labor mobility. Seventh, European platform against poverty. It is not acceptable in the modern age that nearly 80 million people in Europe live under the poverty line. People experiencing poverty and social exclusion are unable to live in dignity and take an active part in society. The purpose of this overall strategy will also be to strengthen the internal market by removing bottlenecks, especially in the services sector, and making sure that competition policies correctly apply. There are some things in our strategy that you have heard before, and we make no apologies for that. They will not be here if they had been done properly in the last 10 years. To give some examples, it is not acceptable because we do not have a community patent, European companies face translation costs of around 3,000 euros on each patent. It is 13 times more expensive in the European Union than in the United States and 11 times more expensive than in Japan. The difference this time is that the European Union appears ready for stronger economic coordination and stronger economic governance. Europe 2020 will rely on 2 pillars: the thematic approach outlined above, combining priorities and headline targets, and country reporting, helping member states develop their strategies to return to sustainable growth and public finances. Integrated guidelines will be adopted at European Union level to cover the scope of European Union priorities and targets. The Commission will address country-specific recommendations to member states, will also issue policy warnings in case of inadequate response. And our reporting of Europe 2020 will be done simultaneously with our evaluation of Stability and Growth Pact, while keeping the instrument separate and maintaining the integrity of the pact. In fact, last time, we had one hand tied behind our backs. This time, we believe we have the conditions to grip the problem with both hands. The European Council must have full ownership if we want governments to deliver. The Commission proposes that the European Council endorses, in March, the overall approach of the strategy and the choice of European Union headline targets, and approves, in June, the detailed perimeters of the strategy, including the integrated guidelines and national targets. There are plenty of people who have argued that the economic crisis puts in question our whole system. I believe it does reverse. We need the openness of the single market in more areas, more competition, better trade opportunities. Closing our eyes to the world will not make it go away. So we should keep the fundamentals of what has been the very important acquis of European integration. But there is something we have to do more that was not there before. It's coordination, common governance, with coherence and with persistence, with continuity. Only then we can, in fact, have a clear European strategy, working together, European institutions, member states, and, of course, the European society and the European citizens as a whole. I am confident we'll succeed. Now we need to make it happen. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, President. I take the opportunity to say it's available outside in 5 languages, the strategy that President just presented, and will be uploaded and made available in other languages on the dedicated website as from 12 o'clock onwards. The link is in the press release. So let's open the floor for questions. Please state your name and the media you represent. Antonio, we'll start with you.
Jim Brunsdon, European Voice newspaper. Not me.
Jim, that's okay. We take Antonio afterwards. Go ahead.
President, you mentioned that now whereas the Commission had one hand behind its back before, you now have the economic governance tools you need to deliver this strategy. However, the leader of the EU's largest country, Angela Merkel, has already said that she's not keen on having these new Lisbon instruments, notably formal warnings used by the Commission. She's concerned that that could politicise the budget process. So I'm wondering, how do you react to that, and how are you going to overcome her resistance to these tools that you say are necessary to make this a success where Lisbon failed?
5 years ago, when we have proposed the revision of the original Lisbon strategy, there was a debate in the European Council. I remember well. It was my first time in the European Council as President of the Commission, after being there as Prime Minister of my country. And in fact, I have to be completely open and honest with you, there was a strong resistance of several heads of state and government to the idea of increased economic coordination. Some of them said, if we do it, we lose next election. The interesting thing is that they lost next election anyway. But in fact, there was a resistance to a European economic coordination and stronger governance in Europe. Now things have changed. And why do I believe things have changed? First of all, because there is much bigger awareness of the need to be together. The financial crisis has highlighted interdependence. The crisis in fiscal crisis in some of our member states have highlighted also the consequences some mistakes made in one country may have on other countries. So it's much clearer now the need to act together. So I think this has now been already accepted and assumed by all European leaders at the European Council level. And the discussion we had in the informal council on the 11th of February confirmed this to me. But there is another difference as well. We now have the Lisbon Treaty. And the Lisbon Treaty, for instance, provides for not only policy recommendations, but policy warnings made by the Commission with the Council or by the Commission itself. And the Commission intends to use these powers to the full. This is, of course, our intention. We believe the situation demands it. So I hope there will be consensus among leaders that we need to implement the Lisbon Treaty. And we need to use all the possibilities that it offers to increase governance, economic governance, in the European Union. There is a point I want to clarify, because there was probably some confusion about it. We are not proposing any kind of overlapping between the Stability and Growth Pact and the European 2020 strategy. We are not proposing. The European Treaty, the Lisbon Treaty, defines clearly the procedures, the legal basis for European Monetary Union. And we believe it should be separate from the European 2020 strategy. But there is something we have to do, and that we are proposing, that the member states present at the same time the objectives in macroeconomic terms and in microeconomic reform, and also in external policy, economic policy, namely on trade, so that we can work together on those issues. It makes no sense when we are discussing at European Council level the economic situation of Europe, not to consider at the same time the macroeconomic constraints or opportunities, the microeconomic situation, I mean, the global economic challenges, in fact, the economic situation of Europe. So this is of course, absurd if the governments of Europe decide something as in macroeconomic terms that is contradictory with the structural reforms they want to implement. So if you really want to have an holistic approach to the economic policy of Europe, we have to make this political assessment together while keeping clearly separated, also from a legal point of view, the different instruments. And as you know, the Commission position is that the Stability and Growth Pact should indeed be reinforced in its implementation and not weakened. That will be completely against our intentions.
Okay, thank you. We stay in the same zone now. Third chair in the first row. Yeah.
Buenos días, Presidente. Jorge Valero, el diario La Razón. I will ask in Spanish, if I may. Thank you. Bueno, sabemos lo lejos que nos hemos quedado de los objetivos de la Agenda de Lisboa. También sabemos por qué ha fallado. Muchos incluso hablan de que se debería haber introducido medidas correctoras, incentivos, castigos. El presidente del Consejo, el Consejo Europeo, Van Rompuy, Germán Van Rompuy, empezó a hablar de benchmarking en vez de medidas correctoras, teniendo en cuenta que estos benchmarking se usan ya en campos como la educación y muchos países están lejos de estos objetivos de la educación y durante la siguiente década. Durante el primer tercio de la década vamos a estar todavía en crisis y vamos a crecer incluso a un ritmo más bajo. ¿Usted cree que sería suficiente el control dejarlo a los benchmark? ¿No deberíamos introducir medidas correctas o incentivos?
Gracias. Over those 10 years, or should we actually have corrective measures or something like that? Thank you.
Myself and President Van Rompuy have been working together on this, and in the last European Council, in fact, I welcomed some of the ideas he has put forward regarding governance. And it is very good that as President of the European Council is so clearly in favor of a reinforcement of the economic governance in Europe. I am too. And that's why I welcome the idea to have benchmarks. And precisely what we are proposing here is to have targets. We are proposing 5 targets. That is the difference with the Lisbon Strategy. Lisbon Strategy originally have, I don't remember how many targets. In fact, nobody knows. And that was one of the problems of that strategy as it was designed in 2000. Now we are proposing 5 targets, from employment to education to climate and energy to the fight against poverty. And I believe that this collective exercise of surveillance can be done by each member state presenting the way they are or not fulfilling the itinerary to reach those targets. There is another difference compared with the situation in 2000, is that now we are 27 countries. We were not then. So the European Union is much more diverse. It means that instead of having a common target for each country, we are now proposing to have average for Europe, but we are asking each member state to decide on the target they want to reach. So there will be differentiation, taking in consideration the diversity of the European situation. The diversity in Europe, of course, increased much more after the last enlargement. So the positive incentives are not directly linked to the specific fulfillment of the targets, but there will be, of course, the incentives of the recommendation. There will be the political support. There will be also measures that can be complemented through structural funds. But in fact, I believe there are no legal instruments now, for instance, to ideas of punishment or sanctions. I don't believe we have these legal instruments, and I don't know if it was really appropriate to do it. What I think is that with the current provisions of the Lisbon Treaty, if there is political will of the member states, we can have a much clearer and reinforced system of governance, because it will be a governance based on some thematic approach and also on country-specific recommendations and, if necessary, policy warnings that are, in fact, stipulated by the treaty.
Thank you. Now a question from the sidelines, if you can grab a microphone.
Thank you. Mr. President, in the section on policy coordination within the euro, within the Economic and Monetary Union, the paper says there's a need for, quote, a framework for addressing imminent threats for the financial stability of the euro area as a whole. Could you give some idea of what such a framework might entail? Might it include, for example, a solidarity fund for countries in distress and so forth? Thank you.
Look, this is the kind of issue that, because of the current developments, I'm not going to speculate now. We are, of course, working on that issue, and we will announce when we have some kind of decision. But as you know, there are now intense debate because of the situation in Greece about those issues, and I think I should not feed this kind of speculation at this moment. But what we say is, of course, that we have to have solidarity in the European Union. I think no one will be against that. Now, the concrete instruments, we will present them in due time.
Luis Rego, in the middle.
Em português, por favor, Luis Rego, Diário Económico.
In Portuguese, from Diário Económico.
Duas questões. Uma questão mais prática. Como é que se vai dividir em termos de país por país esta adaptabilidade que falou, flexibilidade, ter em conta as diferentes situações, por exemplo, nos Objetivos de 2020, há uma diferença muito grande entre os países no objetivo, por exemplo, para atingir as renovables. Será que vai haver esse tipo de disparidade também para atingir os outros objetivos setoriais? Um país que esteja muito distante em termos da questão da pobreza, por exemplo, terá manter níveis de pobreza bastante elevados? E depois uma questão mais
Different allowances and so on. And then on a more fundamental issue, my second question.
In 2005 and 2006, when the strategy was set up,
the problem was always the same, political will, the lack of it. And it's still the same problem. And basically, if you've got the political will, it will work.
Same here.
But it's the same thing in 2005. There was a possibility in the previous treaty, the Commission could have sent policy recommendations, it could do so. But what's different now? Why do you think now it's going to work? Why do you think now the political will is really going to be there? How come this time it's going to change? Is it just because of the crisis that somehow the political winds have moved? Or is there something new in the Lisbon Treaty that somehow gives you more ownership and more say in how it's operated?
Lugar, quanto à diversidade, nós entendemos que tem de ser
First of all, on diversity, we believe that everything has to be done with the member states. Things vary greatly between the different member states. There are 27 of them, after all.
We have overall objectives to the whole of Europe, but then with each country, we're going to talk about their plan, which we're going to ask them to present, so they can set their objectives and how they're going to reach them. It's a good comparison that you used with the climate package implied,
where there are global
país tem o seu plano
objectives
específico.
And then a plan per country.
E vamos procurar incorporar
we're
essa
going
diversidade.
To try
Queremos
to incorporate that diversity in this approach too. We want each country to take genuine
Esta
ownership of what it's doing. That's the big difference between now and the 2000 design
Também
of the Lisbon strategy.
Por causa do
the change
mais diverso
has come
da União Europeia hoje.
Inter alia because the EU has become even more diverse than it was then. Now in terms of
caso onde isto não se vai aplicar assim. Porque, como sabe, o índice da pobreza é medido, a chamada linha nacional de pobreza, em termos deles próprios relativos. É considerado
a
situação de pobreza ou de risco de pobreza aqueles que estão abaixo dos 60% da média disponível em cada Estado-membro. Portanto, sendo um objetivo relativo, nós entendemos que todos os Estados têm que
Therefore, each member state in this particular case will apply it in the same way in their context,
disse,
in the same intensity. So that
I hope
answers your first question. Your second question, I think now people are far more aware that we have to work more together. The governance of Europe, the economic governance, is now.
Mas o Tratado de Lisboa dá instrumentos que não estavam antes. O artigo 121 não existia no antigo tratado. Por exemplo, chamado Policy Warning, feito pela Comissão, mesmo sem necessitar do apoio do Conselho. E há um conjunto de medidas instrumentais que permitem o reforço desta governação a nível europeu. Mas claro, tem de ser completamente honesto. Convosco, nós estamos a falar para 27 Estados. Se os Estados-membros não quiserem, não vai ser possível termos uma estratégia para a Europa. Isso é óbvio.
We have to have a strategy for
a União Europeia não está em condições de impor uma estratégia comum se os Estados-membros não quiserem. É por isso que eu acho muito importante. A apropriação também pelo Conselho Europeu. É por isso que temos de trabalhar muito em conjunto também.
That's why we're working closely together with President Van Rompuy and
porque,
repare,
hoje em dia, há escolhas difíceis que têm de ser feitas nos nossos países. Têm de ser os chefes de governo a fazer. Escolhas difíceis em termos macroeconómicos, mas em termos microeconómicos. Quem é que vai fazer essas arbitragens a nível nacional? Não pode ser só, com todo o respeito, um ministro da economia, ou um ministro das finanças, ou um ministro da energia, ou um ministro do comércio. Tem de ser, muitas vezes, de facto, ao nível dos chefes de governo. Por isso, se houver este ownership, se houver esta apropriação pelo Conselho Europeu, que eu acho que vai haver, então temos condições para que esta estratégia resulte. Temos, neste momento, mais instrumentos que tínhamos em 2000, ou mesmo em 2005.
Thank you, President. So there's good hope for the future.
Danish television is next on my list.
President, Danish television, most of the targets that you have presented are quite specific, but when it comes to climate change, you mentioned the 2020 goals once more, but you also raised the possibility of going to minus 30%. But if you look in 10 years' time ahead, do you think Europe should be at minus 30, and how important is that goal?
It is very important, and in fact, it's not by coincidence that we have decided to put Europe 2020 as the name. It is, in fact, also with the time of the targets that have been already agreed by the European Council for climate action. And as you know, there is a position of the European Union for this. It's precisely to go for 20% of reduction of greenhouse gases and 30% if there are the conditions right from other partners. I believe we should do it with other partners, and we are going to present some ideas about it. It is very important that after what was, for many, a disappointment, the Copenhagen Conference, it is very important that the member states do not backtrack now, that they keep that commitment to go for 20% and, if possible, to 30% as an average at European level. That is certainly our position, but also the 20% target in terms of energy efficiency and the 20% target in terms of renewables. And it is a centerpiece of this strategy, because precisely we want to put the strategy for climate and for energy not as a separate thing, but to put it mainstream in our economic policy, to put it mainstream with the economic reforms we need in Europe for decarbonization of transport, for energy efficiency in buildings, for the upgrading and the greening of our industry. We are proposing an industrial policy for Europe. It's a very courageous thing, because some people believed before that Europe should not have an industrial policy. We believe we should have an industrial policy, but not industrial policy of the past. An industrial policy for a more sustainable, resource-efficient, a green economy in Europe. So I think it's very important to keep these targets. Of course, we cannot now come with targets every day. We recently approved those targets for climate and energy, and we believe they are sound, viable. that we can achieve them, that they are ambitious. For some member states, they are very ambitious, but we can deliver on them. That's what we propose. And if internationally the conditions are right, we should even step up, go from 20 to 30% in terms of greenhouse gas emissions.
Thank you. Mark Peppercorn in the middle, slightly to the left.
Good morning, Mark Peppercorn in the Netherlands. Mr. Barroso, if all the targets are met by the member states, what would the result be in terms of economic growth and extra jobs? Because in earlier drafts, there were clear figures about this. So maybe you can explain why they are not in it anymore, or are they still valid? Thanks.
As you know, look, we should be prudent about macroeconomic scenarios, let's say, in the longer or medium term. We have made simulations, of course, and in fact it gives us at least 2% of growth. But in fact we have decided not to put it here for a simple reason. Macroeconomic scenarios coming from all sources, international sources, in this crisis have been proven very, let's say, fragile. And we believe we cannot credibly say exactly where is the European Union going to be in 2020 in terms of growth. I think most economists will agree that it will be, okay, a political declaration, but that will not be, let's say, technically, economically very sound. Now, we believe we have made some work, and in fact, in our simulations and projections, this could be achieved, and this, in fact, could help achieve a growth of 2% or more. We explained that in one of the parts of our text, when we believe that we have to increase the growth potential. The growth potential has been very much affected by this financial crisis in Europe. There is a possibility, if we don't act, of Europe, even if you come back to growth, to be a sluggish growth or, in fact, minor growth. It will be, and that will be very dramatic also in terms of employment. That's why we are investing in what we call new sources of growth. New sources of growth in the greening of our economy can be very important. Create jobs in the renewable sector, in everything that has to do with a resource-efficient economy. Create more potential for growth in the networks, in energy networks, transport networks. We are putting there some possibilities. And also in other areas in terms of trade that we are very committed to, remain open, and also to promote more opportunities for European companies abroad. So we believe that this could correspond at least to 2% growth, but, I mean, it will be at least extremely risky to project now a concrete figure for growth in 2010, from 2010 to 2020.
Okay, we're getting close to the time where we need to end. I've got DPA asking for the floor.
Alvise Armellini for DPA, German Press Agency. President, how bad does the situation in a member state need to get before you issue your policy warning? If you could make, for example, a comparison to Greece, would you have acted much quicker if you had these powers now? And the second question is, I was slightly confused by your poverty numbers, because you said you want 20 million less poor people, and then you said it's unacceptable, and now you have 18 million poor people in Europe. 80, okay, all right, thanks.
1880. It's incredible, yes, but according to the reference of the poverty indicators used, we have 80 million people in Europe in the situation of risk of poverty. And this is a very serious issue, and I want to insist on that. And it's a very important point, because some sectors in Europe, some politicians in Europe, think that these issues is a pure national thing, and that according to the principle of subsidiarity, the European Union should do nothing. I disagree, and let's have that debate about this. I think it is impossible, in fact, in European terms, to come with a strategy to save the banks and not to have something for those who are the most affected, most vulnerable in our society. So we are not proposing any kind of change of competencies. On the contrary, if you read our communication, it is very clear we are putting all the time what is to be done at community level, what has to be done at national level. But we believe that the joint effort of the European leaders against poverty, this year, by the way, it's a European year against poverty and for social and against social exclusion, against poverty and against social exclusion, I think it will be helpful to focus minds, because the legitimacy also of our work depends a lot on this commitment to social cohesion. The first question was about,
how bad does the situation in a member state has to get before you act, before you issue your policy warnings?
The decision that has to be taken on each case. We cannot have now a model. On each case, we have to decide when we should come with a policy warning by the Commission or to propose it also to the Council. And this is, in fact, a matter of political judgment to see what is the best way and the time to take that initiative. That is, of course, a very, let's say, serious decision.
Une dernière question en français. Il faut qu'elle soit courte, Hugues Baudouin, parce qu'on doit terminer, malheureusement.
Monsieur le Président, Hugues Baudouin pour LCI TF1. On a entendu déjà une partie de ce discours lorsque l'agenda de Lisbonne nous a été présenté. À croire cet agenda, on devrait être cette année l'économie la plus compétitive au monde. Qu'est-ce qui vous fait croire que sur les ambitions que vous affichez, elles sont réalistes? Est-ce que vous avez des engagements de la plupart de quelques-unes des principales économies de l'Europe pour que ces ambitions soient atteintes d'ici 2020?
Je crois que j'ai déjà partiellement répondu à cette question, mais je peux le faire maintenant en français. Tout d'abord, cet objectif-là que vous avez mentionné, 2010, l'économie la plus compétitive au monde, je tiens à le dire personnellement. J'ai dit dès le début que je n'y croyais pas. En 2000, quand la stratégie de Lisbonne a été approuvée, j'étais leader de l'opposition dans mon pays. Et je suis on record en disant que ce n'était pas bien désigné, cette stratégie, parce qu'elle était d'une façon trop ambitieuse et d'autre part trop détaillée sans avoir quelque chose de plus réaliste. C'est pourquoi, après, en 2004, à la Commission, nous avons changé pour quelque chose qui nous paraissait beaucoup plus réaliste. Bon, c'est pourquoi ici aussi, vous ne trouvez pas cette idée grandiose d'être les numéro un au monde. Mais nous avons une ambition qui est effectivement d'assurer une croissance plus équitable, une croissance plus verte, plus soutenable et une croissance plus intelligente dans ces secteurs. Nous présentons ici des objectifs que nous croyons qui sont ambitieux, mais réalistes. Et c'est pour ces objectifs que nous répondons. Maintenant, encore une fois, ça ne dépend pas simplement de la Commission. Soyons absolument clairs là-dessus. La Commission, elle fait des propositions. Maintenant, c'est aux États membres, aussi au Parlement européen, d'accepter ou pas les propositions. On va discuter. Moi, je crois, pour les raisons que j'ai déjà mentionnées, les conséquences de cette crise financière, l'impact de la mondialisation d'un côté, et aussi la crise dans certains de nos États membres, et l'impact que cette crise dans un pays ou dans certains pays peut avoir dans les voisins, je crois que c'est évident que nous avons besoin d'une gouvernance plus forte en Europe. Et donc, je crois que les leaders européens, les chefs d'État et de gouvernement sont sensibles à cela, ils sont en contact avec leurs réalités respectives. Donc, ce que je peux vous dire, c'est que je vais lutter pour faire de cela une réalité. Et je crois que les conditions sont là, non seulement en termes politiques, mais aussi en termes institutionnel, car c'est vrai, le traité de Lisbonne donne plus de pouvoir aux institutions européennes, le Conseil européen sort renforcé, la Commission sort renforcée, le Parlement européen sort renforcé, les institutions en tant que telles, pour faire l'accompagnement de cette stratégie. Donc je crois que c'est possible de le faire et nous allons travailler pour que cela devienne une réalité.
Merci beaucoup, Président. Le Président, comme je disais en introduction, doit maintenant aller recevoir le Président de la République italienne. Il sera de retour en salle de presse avec le Président italien à 14h30. Entre-temps, nous allons maintenant céder la place au briefing de midi. Je vous rappelle que les documents dont on vient de parler sont à votre disposition à l'extérieur et également disponibles sur le site web. Merci beaucoup.